Welcome to Module 7 in the Evidence-Based Leadership Program, The Habit of Action. Do you know that people generally hate targets? That's because anything less than the target feels like failure. And coupled with that fear is the lack of know-how to pursue targets. So people generally set targets they know they can achieve through what they're already doing, like targets based on levels of performance they have already achieved in the past, or targets based on completing tasks or milestones. In high-performance organizations, targets motivate the reach for excellence, not the attainment of perfection, nor the maintenance of the status quo. This is the process of monitoring the achievement of targets in a way that inspires deliberate action to improve performance results. This is Gus and some of his team members. Gus was an executive with the Federal Aviation Administration in the United States, heading up the Central Service Center. I worked with Gus and his leadership team to teach them PUMP. They then took it back to lead Gus's department to implement it. And here he is at a PUMP measure gallery, checking over how his team has prioritized their results to fit with the overall strategy for Gus's department. Now, one of the results was owned by Steve Silvers and his team. Steve is happily retired now, but back then he was the employee services team manager for the Central Service Center. Steve's team mission was to provide staffing and position management support to almost 11,000 employees located across 17 states in the central part of the United States. And one of the things they did was place training failures, an unfortunate term for people who fail the flight controller exam, placing them into appropriate positions throughout the United States. It was April, and the target for the training failures placement time was 21 days by October the next year, which was 18 months away. Training failures placement time was currently sitting at 67 days with lots of unpredictability or lots of variation. There was a very big gap to close. The team set some interim targets to help build their momentum toward that stretch target. Steve's team set themselves two interim targets of 45 days by December that same year, and then 30 days by March the next year. Then they set about examining the process of placing training failures in new positions to learn what was taking it so long. After a few iterations, they found some solutions and they got the buy-in from the training failures, from the union, and from management. And within 7 months, in other words, by November that same year, they flew past the two interim targets and reached 23 days. This basically meant they had saved $500,000 in those 7 months from a $12,000 investment. And that investment was in PUMP training and the time it took them to work on the problem and the solution. That is an ROI, a return on investment, of 4,067%. And of course, the saving just continues because the training failures process was fundamentally fixed. Gus had given the team the authority to improve so they could change the business process design and improve with leverage and do it rapidly. Jack Welch, as you very likely know, is a retired American business executive, an author and chemical engineer. Almost all of us know about Jack as the transformational CEO of General Electric, who multiplied that company's value by 4,000%. Jack's view on success is based on the belief that learning must be turned into action very rapidly. He's been quoted many times on this belief, like this quote: "In real life, strategy is actually very straightforward. You pick a general direction and implement like hell." And also, "It's better to act too quickly than it is to wait too long." Action isn't about blindly implementing strategic initiatives and improvement projects to get them to completion. Rather, it's about closing gaps in performance that matter. That needs emphasis. Action is about closing gaps in performance that matter. And doing it swiftly and deliberately, being flexible to do what's needed as we learn what's needed. Everyone needs to focus on the performance gaps that need closing before they decide what projects or initiatives to implement. Remember, the blue dots on this XMR chart are targets, and they're targets for this measure called purchasing OPEX, or operating expenditure, as a percentage of purchasing spend. These are called staged targets because they aim for incremental or staged improvements in performance, just like Steve Silvers and his team did with their training failures placement time measure. Looking at these targets, do you think they're achievable? Well, given that performance has already behaved at similar levels to these targets at various points in the past, they probably are achievable. They're probably not stretch targets, given the relatively small shift that they represent. Remember that targets like these on XMR charts are targets for that blue line, the central line, the average level of performance. This means that the targets are set for the average level of performance, not for the individual measure values. They're set for the average level of performance, accounting for the unavoidable fact that every measure will vary, and so setting targets for individual measure values is futile and frustrating. And this means that we want to improve performance so that the blue central line, when it's recalculated, passes through the targets on or before the date that the target is sitting above on the graph. Every important improvement needs time to be implemented, so there's no point in setting a target to apply immediately. Set targets for a time in the future. We might have performance at the target level occasionally in the past, but what we want to have is performance consistently sitting closer to the target. So in this case, a change is definitely needed to make that happen. Irrespective of whether the targets actually are achievable or not, the idea is to use them to strive for an improvement, to reach for the target, not to hit it. Missing the target is not failure. True failure is not even trying. To change performance for the better and have the change be sustainable on its own, the underlying work process or business process has to be changed. Processes are the ways that teams and business units get things done. Process analysis will show us where the constraints are that limit how good performance can be and the causes that we need to fix to remove those constraints. Now, the main causes for why purchasing OPEX were too high turned out to be that managing 8,000 suppliers was too hard. So what they did was focused on getting it down to less than 4,000 suppliers, to halve the number of suppliers. Another reason or a cause was the cleaning up the mess of poor supplier performance. So they focused on suppliers that caused the most rework or where they had to do the most replacement of the items that the suppliers provided them. And the third cause was more complex procurement steps were happening due to maverick or random ad hoc spending. So they focused on making it more attractive for internal customers to purchase from approved contracts. Looking at the XMR chart, is it clear to you what the impact of these changes actually was on performance? What you're probably noticing is they exceeded the third target in one go. But what if they didn't achieve the target right away? They could have learned what worked and what didn't, and they still might have made an improvement that otherwise would not have been made. Reaching for targets is a healthier mindset for business than hitting targets. Hitting targets encourages manipulation of numbers, cheating, taking shortcuts in how work gets done, and so on. reaching for targets encourages the healthier and more sustainable game of continuous improvement, fundamental improvement. So to reach for targets rather than hit them, we really do need to redefine what accountability means. Targets should be motivating. They should motivate improvement. They should not judge success or failure. The focus needs to be on reaching for them, not hitting them. So that means that performance reports need to focus on reaching targets too. There are three pieces of information that performance reports should provide about each performance measure. Firstly, they should answer the question, what is performance doing right now? And that question's answered by the XMR chart that shows the gap between as-is performance and to-be performance. In other words, the gap between the current average level of performance, or the blue line, and the target performance, or the blue dots. The second question that performance reports should help us answer is, why is performance doing this? And that's answered by an analysis of the primary or biggest causes holding performance back. An example might be a Pareto chart of the impact of a whole bunch of potential causes, with a focus on the causes that are having most of the impact. When we know the causes, it's natural then to go to the third question that a performance report should answer for us, and that is, how should we respond to this? The answer to that question is usually in the form of some process improvement solution or set of recommendations that will close that gap between that average performance or central blue line and the target dots. But have a think about what definition of accountability is kind of floating around your organization. Often it can be to hit a target, and that's not what we want. It's not going to drive the right kind of behavior, and it's not going to maintain the ownership of goals and measures that we put so much effort into creating by practicing EBL habit 4 decision. So when our performance reports are designed to provide these three pieces of information, it makes three actions possible. Firstly, it makes the action of monitoring performance possible. It makes the action of interpreting performance possible. And it makes the action of initiating improvement or initiating action possible as well. And together, these make up a new definition of accountability, one that's more focused on the behaviors we want from people and also behaviors they know they have control over. So accountability is monitoring performance, interpreting it, and then initiating action if action's needed. It's not about hitting targets. It's about pursuing them deliberately. This, of course, means that performance dashboards or reports need to focus on closing gaps between as-is and to-be performance. The right dashboard has very specific features. It contains deliberately designed measures, which we developed with EBL Habit 2 evidence. Those measures are visually and clearly aligned to strategy or to those measurable goals that we set up in EBL Habit 1 direction. These dashboards are used by the people who own the measures. That's EBL Habit 4 decision. Those dashboards answer the question, what is performance doing, with XMR charts that show the performance gap. And that's really a combination of EBL habit of evidence and the EBL habit of action. The right dashboard also answers the question, why is it doing that, with some cause analysis. And again, that relates to the EBL habits of execution and action. And finally, the right dashboard will answer the question, so what should we do about it, with recommended business experiments and initiatives. And that is the EBL habit of action, but it also touches the next EBL habit we'll come to shortly, learning. Every team in a high performance organization has a dashboard like this, from the boardroom all the way down to the shop floor. And at your upcoming EBL immersion workshop, you'll see your strategic dashboard start to emerge just like this one. Now, a performance dashboard designed in this way focuses everyone on the performance gaps they can influence, that they can do something to close. And until you have your strategic performance dashboard after your EBL immersion workshop, you might like to start now by thinking about a performance gap you'd want the dashboard to help you monitor and close. So you can do a bit of guesstimating about your new performance measure. You created that back in EBL Habit 2 evidence. Think about how you could close a performance gap in that measure. So write down that measure. Sketch it in an XMR chart and just guesstimate where the central line looks like it should be and how wide those natural variation limits should really be. Then maybe set targets for where they should be. Remember, the central line and the natural variation limits on an XMR chart are telling you where performance currently is at. They're not targets themselves. You need to set targets for where you want those to be. Then look at the size of the performance gap. What causes could be the best to focus on, and what change initiative could fix these causes? Now, to have the kind of accountability for action that makes a high performance organization, three mindsets are really important. These are the mindsets that help us practice that habit of action. Firstly, focus on causes, not symptoms. Fix business process design by finding the biggest constraints, design flaws, or waste that's holding that performance gap open. Be practical, not perfect. Celebrate any progress toward a target. The only failure is not trying, or it's procrastinating until you find the perfectly researched and perfectly designed solution. Progress is so much faster in steps, not leaps. And think about collaboration, not competition. Don't hold people accountable for hitting targets. That creates a feeling of competition. Encourage them instead to collaborate with each other, and in particular, across organizational boundaries or silos, to continually close performance gaps. And often the constraints on performance are in the spaces between the silos. So this is how we inspire the kind of action that closes performance gaps. But it's not always the case, is it, that our well-informed action gets the improvements we intended or hoped for. And because of this, we're about to talk about probably the biggest fear that people have that will get in the way of successful strategy execution. This is the fear of failure. And EBL habit number 6, learning, will show you how to kill off that fear. Coming up next is Module 8 of the Evidence-Based Leadership Program, the 6th and final EBL habit of learning. It's about how we can use measurement to learn how to improve performance faster through business experiments by removing the fear of failure and unnecessary procrastination.